The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everyone. This is Shannon. I am in studio right now, and we have Dr. Pettirudi on the line, who is calling in from San Francisco. Good morning.
Good morning, Shannon. Indeed, I am. I am here in the city by the bay. You know, I think they stole that from Newport. I think we are really the city by the bay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Intellectual Medicine. Thanks for tuning in. An exciting show today. We're going to be talking about brains, about cancer. And if you're lucky, and if I have time, I'm going to tell you how to solve America's healthcare crisis. What do you think about that, Shannon?
I think that would be wonderful. I want to hear it.
And while we're at it, we'll cure world hunger. Why not? No, but I'm serious. I've got a remedy. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it today, but it is kind of a political season. You know what I mean? Some news stories in the political headlines that reflect healthcare. And, you know, the show is centered on healthcare and centered on helping you live the 120-year lifespan. But at the core of that is quality, and the quality of life reflects the quality of the culture and the environment in which we live. And in order to get to be 120 years, you can't do the usual stuff. You cannot practice medicine and live your lifestyle the way the average people live, because they're all going to die on average at about age 86 or so. Now, I happen to know that from actuarial tables, which I'll get to in a minute, but hey, Shannon, you've been to San Francisco?
I have.
What did you think of the Golden Gate Bridge?
It's beautiful. Spectacular.
Did you? Now, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I don't know, I think Newport Bridge has it beat.
Oh, that is pretty.
Here's the thing, Rhode Islanders, let's never take our beautiful state for granted. Now, San Francisco is gorgeous. I'm driving in from the airport, and what I'm seeing is a bottleneck of traffic and rolling brown hills with no trees on them. And you wonder why they have brush fires and mudslides out this part of the country. Now, that's good if you like rolling brown hills. I'm all in for that, and I don't mean to judge them negatively, but I prefer trees. And I love Rhode Island, and I love New England, our home. But, hey, Nick, have you ever been to San Francisco?
I haven't, actually, Doctor. But
yep,
I would like to.
I'm going to save you the money. It's beautiful. Lots of young people jogging. And a coffee shop about every 10 feet. So there you go. It's a good city. But listen, back to the topics at hand. You know, I'm out here, Shannon, right? Thank you again for my beautiful gift you got me, which is a trip to visit my son and watch him coach his high school football team. Now, how is that relevant to living 120 years, you might ask? Go ahead and ask it.
I think you just did. Go ahead.
I did? Oh, okay.
You did.
Well, a few ways. Number one, it's a joy to be out here. And this is why we do it, folks. We live 120 years so that we can enjoy the richness of life. We are aspiring and we are applying science to help you live that long. We're not advocating immortality, at least not in this body, in this life. That goes beyond the scope of our medical abilities presently. But 120 is fully within reach. And here are a few reasons why. Number one, we know people have lived to be 120 years. That's fact. Number two, something called the Hay-Fleck equation calculated the lifespan of human cells, and it comes out to be about 120 years. Now, Shannon, you know when we started this movement, this intellectual medicine approach, some of our attorneys were concerned that we were overpromising, you know, saying 120 years sounds fantastical. And we disagree. We think it's realistic. We think that really we should extend middle age well into the 90s, and that's what we're aspiring to do. But then I bumped into Genesis and the Old Testament, and it said, and man shall live 120 years. So we've got it on high authority that this is achievable. So we start by asking the question, what prevents us from living to be 120? And then you back engineer it. If your mom and dad lived to be 80, if your brother died suddenly at age 58, those are relevant facts, but they're not barriers. Now, how does it tie into high school football, you might ask? Well, you don't get to be 120 and enjoy life if you don't bring your brain with you. So we're going to talk a little bit about brain, and then we need to highlight issues regarding cancer, Shannon. And as you know, we're very dedicated to improving the quality of lives of patients that are fighting cancer. We're going to talk about that today as well. But it comes down to high school football, because a study found that there were anatomical changes noted on the CAT scan in young athletes who were playing high school football, even if they had no history of a concussion. And we all have been listening to and hearing the news about post-concussive syndromes and chronic traumatic encephalopathy. This is a condition when multiple traumas to the brain over time can lead to dementia and other neurological illnesses. Now, Shannon, you've heard some of that information, and how does it affect your thought when it comes to will I want my son to play high school football?
Right. So, highly question whether I look at soccer and I look at football. Now, I know there's a lot of concussions in soccer, oddly, not as many as football, of course. And it does. I think, you know, you have these 4 years, and can you be just as happy and, you know, make the same memories playing soccer and not have to worry about the effects later in life?
Okay, so that is a very valid and reasonable opinion. And, you know, here comes my warning. I am a former high school football player and loved every minute of it. I love the memories I created and the friendships I created. And in keeping with the joy of life pursuit, I like to be able to ask questions. Here's one question. Why do some people who take multiple head collisions and play at a high level of football have a perfectly fine brain throughout their entire lives and others don't? And that's one of the things we need to be looking at as well. Now, every sport has a risk. Every endeavor has a risk. People die doing alpine skiing. People get life-altering injuries doing, parachuting. You know, Nick, did you ever play high school football?
I actually didn't. I played baseball.
And your brain is crystal clear. See, baseball players are smarter than the average athlete, no doubt about it. I remember all those statistics. But what they're thinking now with brain injury and with brain health is has a lot to do with free radical exposure. Free radicals are those unstable molecules that our bodies make every time we metabolize anything. Every time we eat, we generate them. They are molecules that are lacking an electron. Think of them like a ball in a pinball machine, just banging around causing damage until they are settled. And that which settles them are antioxidants, which your body makes in abundance. We all do when we're young. And as we get older, the antioxidants start to diminish and the free radicals gain an advantage. Another thing that makes free radicals escalate is trauma and stress. So think of athletes playing at a high level. They have both of those going on. And then finally, we've got the risk factor of lifestyle. Now, many pro athletes, football players, have a lifestyle that includes, shall we say, less than pristine eating and a little bit of carousing, nightlife, perhaps drinking a bit more than average. You know, and Franco Harris, the great running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was a nutrition major at a Penn State University. And he's been on antioxidants his whole life. He starts every morning by eating blueberries and has a crystal clear brain. Now, I'm not proposing that we ignore brain trauma. I think it's a serious issue that needs to be addressed. However, I don't think that we approach it by banning activities that generate great joy, that generate character attributes that are positive in many cases, and that generate these lifetime friendships and memories. But rather, we need to be mindful of the antioxidants. And Shannon, did you take any antioxidants this morning?
Not yet. Those are on my list a little later.
On your to-do list. So taking them can be helpful. They depend on your age and then your stress level. Now, I'm flying back on Monday, so no worries, folks. I'll be back in Rhode Island to continue intellectual medicine. But when you're flying, you get exposed to a cascade of free radicals that weaken your immune system and create the open door for things to walk through, like infection and cancer. So cancer appears at times when our immune system is at its weakest. So we need to be talking about that. But to finish my thoughts on the brain, at every stage in the journey of life, think about preserving your brain. Things we know that can help. We talked about protecting it from trauma. That has value, of course. Studies show that low-dose lithium correlates with a decreased incidence of dementia. And there's something about the lithium that appears to be stabilizing the brain cells. And there are other studies correlating hormones to brain preservation. Now, you wouldn't think of the brain as being an essential target for testosterone. At least most people wouldn't. I know, Shannon, you and I didn't necessarily have that information before we plugged ourselves into the intellectual medicine world, did we?
We didn't.
And most people, when they talk about or think about hormone replacement, they're thinking about sexual function, which, of course, is a vital element of healthy living for many people. But there are more testosterone receptors in the brain than any other organ in the body. And you look at studies. There's a recent study that showed women who had their ovaries removed, not for any particular reason, but these are women who had the non-cancerous removal of the ovaries. So they had them had a hysterectomy, and they told the doctor, you know, while you're in there, just get rid of the ovaries. I don't need them anymore. They had a skyrocketing rate of aging disorders, heart disease, dementia, and cancer. Now, who would have ever tied those two things together? And yet we do this to women all the time. We dismiss the importance of their hormones. We over-exaggerate the potential risks of maintaining their hormonal health. And we let them suffer a slow and miserable death in some cases. Because the minute those hormones go away, the clock is ticking. Everything starts to shrink. The brain, the bone, the muscle, the skin, sexual function, genitals. And you know what was interesting to me as I tie these studies together, which is one of the tenets of intellectual medicine, is looking at the big pictures. A study done on men who had prostate cancer and had their testosterone levels blocked. Now, sometimes that is done because it's believed to be a therapy of value for people with prostate cancer. At intellectual medicine, we challenge that dogma. In some cases, it can give symptomatic relief if you're having bone pain from testicular cancer that's gone to the bone. But if you're not, if you have localized cancer, you have cancer and they want to block your testosterone, it's worth considering alternatives. Because here's what happens when they block your testosterone. You shrink, your muscles shrink, your bones get weak, your risk of fracture goes up because of weak bones. You can grow breasts, your sex drive fades, your mood can drop, you can become ornery and short-tempered, and perhaps worst of all, they now know your rate of dementia skyrockets. Tie those two studies together and you come up with an emerging fact that hormone support may be central and a cornerstone element of preventing dementia. So we've got to start to look at these issues and apply them now. We don't have time to wait. I'm 57, as my faithful listeners will know.
I'm cutting you off here. We got to take a break.
We got to go?
Yep.
All right, team. Listen, gang, I got the word. Come back after the break. We'll finish this thought. I'm Dr. Pederuti, and this is Intellectual Medicine.
I'm going home.
Hello, and we are back on Intellectual Medicine. Dr. Pederuti, you're still there.
Hey, I'm here. How are you doing, Shannon?
I am well.
Did you miss me during that commercial break?
Oh, of course I did.
Well, I'm back, and I was talking about brain, and I was talking about hormones and about the link between the two. So to keep your brain fresh, you want to start your hormone replacement in time. Now, it is never too late to begin living the 120-year lifespan. We have patients in their 80s and 90s that begin their treatments with us and begin applying these principles to their life. Because you can always revitalize, renew, and restore. I don't care where you are in life. But if you're listening to this and you're enjoying your good health and you're enjoying your healthy brain, now's the time to act, right? You don't build a boat in the sunshine. I mean, in the rain, you get it ready for the flood. Now, we know as we get older that our brain becomes more challenged. And that is not inevitable. The notion that there has to be senile decrease of brain function, that is, we get older and the brain loses power, is not inevitable. We can do things to prevent that. And among those things we talked about so far this morning, one of them is bioidentical hormone replacement. It must be done correctly. The other is free radical neutralization, and that is using antioxidants in a thoughtful manner to help neutralize free radicals. And that's different depending on your circumstance in life and your age. But rule of thumb, though, I would say that you need to boost your antioxidants whenever you're sick, whenever you're traveling, whenever you're under duress, regardless of your age. So if you're 21 years old and you have a child at college and it's the final exam week, get them their antioxidants because they're going to wind down, their immune system will get weak, and we'll end up getting sick. So we want to maintain those elements. And then once we're north of 50, or really I'd say 40, north of 40, you need to start pulling them into play. And if you've ever had cancer, they need to be there early and often. So I think I'll use that as a segue. I want to talk a little bit about cancer this morning, but we have to tie this in to obesity. We always have to tie it into obesity because excess body weight is the number one preventable cause of cancer today if you're a non-smoker. If you're a smoker, it may be neck and neck. Excess body weight doesn't mean just, wow, look at how heavy that dude is. I'm glad I'm not him. It is just carrying more than what is right for your body. And if you're not sure, take a tape measure, put it around your waist. If it's above 40 and you're a man, above 35 and you're a woman. Now, that's not where you hang your belt, guys. It's that thick part above there. You got to measure accurately. Then your risk is going to tick up a little bit, and that has to be addressed. And you know these wristbands and such that people wear? Do you have one of those, Nick? You know, one of those Fitbits?
I don't. I have an Apple Watch. I actually got the Fitbit, but I opted out. I returned it.
Yeah. Now, why did you return it? I'm curious.
It just seemed like the Apple Watch had more features, and it seemed like it had its own Fitbit within it and then had everything else.
Yeah. Now, Shan, I know that you like watching your steps as well. You got sometimes you do. I know sometimes
I do.
You get
in denial about how much you actually do, I think, and then when you actually look at what you've done, it's kind of surprising. It's motivating to me to get up and do more.
Get up and do more, I know. But can it be discouraging sometimes when you're studying really hard and you realize you haven't moved much?
It can. Well, it's just, you know, it's a realization. It's just that's just how it is.
By the way, congratulations, Shan. What would you get on that test you just took?
Talk about it.
she got 100, folks.
Let's not talk about
that. That's soon-to-be nurse practitioner Shannon will be joining the forces of intellectual medicine. But anyhow, a study found that people who wore those Fitbits and monitoring devices actually had more weight gain than people who didn't and did not change their lifestyle. And I found that validating to what we know about obesity and about weight, and that is it's driven from elements of the primitive brain that compel behaviors despite our desire to change them. There are neurochemical effects and there are hormonal effects and neurotransmitter effects that force behaviors when it comes to eating. Losing weight, ladies and gentlemen, is the single hardest thing to do in medicine. I maintain it is harder than treating any other disease I can think of. And that's one of the reasons why it is so appallingly neglected. And we are living in the midst of a pandemic that is bending the curve of human lifespan. And our leaders in medicine are sitting on their hands, by and large, blaming the victim. And they'll tell you to do things like, hey, you know, you ought to lose weight, go diet and exercise. Really? That is a recipe for failure. Studies have demonstrated it. And by the way, Shannon, we have our website. The new one's up and running, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And how do folks get to that website?
A couple different ways. You can go to intellectualmedicine.com, or if they want to get really fancy, they can go to im-120.com.
Now, when they do im-120, are there any periods after the I or the M?
There are not.
And so it's im-120, or it's intellectualmedicine.com.
Yes.
Those are big words. I'd say if you can't spell those words, you're not welcome in the club anyhow.
I do. You have about 30 seconds.
I do, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Man, time. Well, listen, go to our website. When I cite these references, we're going to be loading all these articles in our website so you can validate things we're saying. Intellectual medicine based in fact, truth, and based in the freedom to live 120 years forever, having a great brain, a great body, and great health. Now, aren't we going to the newscast next, Jen?
We are.
And who does that?
I believe that is Doug Lizette, right? From the Seascape News Center.
What is it? The Seascape
News Center.
Yeah, you did a great job. This, folks, is Southern New England, the voice of Southern New England, WPRO. I'm Dr. Pettirudi with Shannon. And next up, Doug Lizette and the Seascape Seascape News Center. Talk to you in a couple minutes.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM. WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Steve Pettirudi. I'm Nick Costa here at home base at the WPRO studios in East Providence, Rhode Island. We have Dr. Pettirudi on the phone hosting the show from San Francisco. How are you, doctor?
I am great. I'm full of life at 5 in the morning on the West Coast. That's how much, Nick, how much I love Southern New Englanders that I want them to get the benefit of this show no matter where I am. And here I'm here on a pleasure trip visiting with my son, who's now residing in San Francisco, and thinking of home, and really, as I said at the outset, Nick, how lovely San Francisco is, but I'll tell you, Rhode Island takes a backseat to no section of the country. It's a southeastern New England. I was driving in here, and my Uber driver, I was telling where I was from, and he said, yeah, I hear Boston is the best city in America. I said, it's right up there, right up next to Providence. So anyhow, folks, I am back. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. I was just talking about cancer and about obesity as being a contributing variable. We have now at Intellectual Medicine broadly organized cancer therapies into three, maybe four major categories. So if you're fighting cancer, you're going down one of these pathways. One, curative treatment. And this is where the doctor says to you, you know, you've got a greater than 90% shot of us curing this cancer and having it never come back. Now, there have been pockets of enormous success in the fight against cancer. Testicular cancer, thyroid cancer are two examples that come to mind. Properly treated, you can have curative interventions. Suppressive treatment is another category. That's when they say, you know, you got a 30 to 40% shot of being here in 5 years. This is an aggressive cancer. We can slow it down. They will never say the word cure. They will never, on the other hand, give you an expiration date. And in that setting, you need more. In my opinion, you need more than just burn, chemo, radiation, surgery. And I would say in every setting, we advocate that you go beyond that, and we'll get to that. So you've got curative, suppressive, and the third pathway of cancer treatment is palliative. Palliative is when they say, I'm sorry, but your cancer is spread everywhere. We're going to do what we can to slow it down and keep you feeling good, but we cannot cure it, and we're not sure that we can really have much impact. Now, looking at palliative first, they've done studies on what's called palliative chemotherapy, and that's when they give you low doses of chemo to slow down the cancer, but not so much that it makes you sick, because you see, you're going to die from the cancer anyhow, and they don't want you to get sick first. What they have found is that palliative chemotherapy does not work. Most of the best studies, they have found that your quality of life plummets and it shortens your lifespan. So not only does it make you feel bad, but you die sooner. Yet, as a human being, it is hard to not fight. Conversely, studies have found that high-dose vitamin C given in advanced cancers does not have any of the adverse effects of chemo, has been correlated with improvements in quality of life metrics such as energy, pain, neuropathy. Whether or not it extends life is uncertain. Those studies are still underway. In some cases, it has had that effect. But the point is that you've got options to contemplate when you're at that stage of life in a palliative setting. On the other hand, palliative setting, I advocate that you consider a non-chemotherapeutic approach unless there's tangible and profound benefit. In all cases, complementary care that is interweaving the burning, the radiation, and the cutting of conventional cancer treatment with the restorative attributes of intellectually applied supplements and IV therapies like vitamin C and alpha lipoic acid and lifestyle interventions can buoy the quality of your life and prevent many of the negative effects of the primary treatment itself. The problem is that there's a huge gulf between conventional medicine and the internet and other functional interventions. And these two worlds don't intertwine, and they should. And that's the bridge we have built at Intellectual Medicine, and we're going to continue to build it for you. Now, let's go all the way back. You know, we've got palliative. We're back to curative. If you have an opportunity to get a curative intervention for your cancer, it'd be foolish not to take it. We're not advocating against conventional medicine. We're advocating for our patients. So if you can get a curative treatment, especially one that doesn't involve toxicity, jump on board. Then we'll talk about secondary prevention. Now, between curative and palliative, there's suppressive. This is when you're doing the long, hard fight. And oftentimes it involves cycles of different chemotherapy. In that setting, paralleling the conventional treatment with high-dose intravenous vitamin C, which goes directly into the bloodstream, extraordinarily safe, known to be toxic to cancer cells, and shown to be beneficial to patients' well-being, can actually help support you through this journey. I'm thinking now, yeah, we're coming down. I'm thinking now of a patient who came to us with a drain, with draining malignant cells out in the fluid in a bag out of the side of her chest, and they were aggressively treating her with chemotherapy. You know, she worked every day, stayed in her job for over 2 years from that point. The cancer dried up from the chest. Her quality of life remained good, and she was doing her IV vitamin C right along with her conventional therapy and lived good quality of life before the cancer eventually took her. That, you know, is a good story because of the quality and because of the benefit. We're going to talk more about this. I think that there's much more to be done than burning and cutting when it comes to cancer. We're running down on our time. How are we doing, Nick? Do I got to bring the closure here?
We'll have to run to break right now, Doctor.
Oh, you do. We've got to sell some things, right? This is Dr. Pedderini, the independent voice of intellectual medicine, WPRO. We'll be back after this short break, folks. Stay with us.
Folks, welcome back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Steve Pedderini. Dr. Pedderini is actually in San Francisco hosting the show right now. Dr. Pedderini, how are you?
I'm feeling great, Nick. It's a great day in San Francisco. It's a wonderful day to be alive on the planet, breathing air and feeling great. And that's how we want people to feel every day. You know, Nick, sometimes people will come to me and just, you know, they have this sense of just not feeling their best. They don't feel great. Their energy maybe has dipped a little bit. And their doc may say to them, well, you know, Dr. Pedderini, after all, you are 57. And, you know, the minute you start to have people put the age as a factor for some of the ways you're feeling that are below ideal, you need to consider getting alternative opinions, because that chronologic number cannot be changed. But the way you feel certainly can be. The 120-year lifespan, it doesn't mean 120 years of feeling miserable. That, you don't get that. When you start to feel drained and weak and tired, you know what else is getting drained and weak and tired? Your immune system. And now that door is cracked open. We're talking a bit about cancer this morning. We're talking about complementary treatments or approaches to fight that cancer. And these are things, folks, that's validated in science, at Intellectual Medicine. We don't apply anything unless we have credible scientific support for its benefit. And again, we're going to be posting all of our articles for you to peruse on our website so you can keep up with this literature. Much of this literature is in the mainstream of medical literature. It just gets ignored. Now, I love my oncologic colleagues. They are caring, loving people, and they have their cup full trying to keep up just with the oncologic literature. And that's why we need to tie these pieces together. Patients and people should not be stuck fending for themselves, trying to figure out what they should do to prevent or to stop or to recover from cancer. You know, that's where we weave in. So that's what we're talking about, the curative, the palliative, and the suppressive cancer treatment pathways, each one of which can benefit from collateral support with lifestyle, with supplement, and with intravenous treatments to diminish carcinogenic risks. At our practice, we like to test people for the amount of heavy metals in their body. We have found the majority, vast majority, over 90% of people are carrying levels of cadmium and lead in their body that correlate with increased risk of cancer, dementia, and heart disease. You would never know that unless you have the specialized testing to evaluate not what's in the blood, but rather what's stored in the body. So that test is available and can add guidance toward intervention. We know that vitamin C, when given intravenously, folks, not taking it over the counter orally, but intravenously, is a direct toxic to most cancers. We know that alpha-lipoic acid, given intravenously, is safe and can interfere with the mitochondria of cancer as well. Now, let's pivot for a moment, because I want to talk about secondary prevention. This is an area we feel passionately about. The cancer that's been now treated, you're patted on the back, you get a green light. Now you're going to wait and watch. That is not good enough. If you've ever had cancer, you've got an increased risk throughout your life of getting the same cancer back or another type of cancer. Whatever the environmental factors and the immune factors are that invited the cancer in the first place still exist. Furthermore, we know that you can't be guaranteed you've gotten every cancer cell out with a knife, with radiation, or with chemo. So let's imagine you had that lump cut out and you're feeling good and you're cured. And let's imagine 10,000 cancer cells escaped and they're just finding a little corner of the body to hang out in and they start dividing. That's called doubling time. At this stage, the doubling time can be 90 days, 120 days. It can be rather slow. But inevitably, it'll double and double and double. And sometime later in your life, you get this relapse. Not inevitably, but it happens too often for us to believe that the cancer was ever gone in the first place. I hear too often about those tragic stories of young men and women who thought they were out of the woods. They're 10 years later, and bang, the cancer's everywhere. We believe in taking a preventative approach called secondary prevention, where you can do an infrequent infusion. What does that mean? About once a month, maybe once every 2 months, depending on the type of cancer, of high-dose vitamin C on the theory that it's going to be destructive to forming cancer cells that you don't even know are there, and that there is absolutely no way to detect. The doubling time is how long it takes the size of that cancer to double. It takes 30 doubling times for the cancer to get from its starting point to a mass about 1 centimeter in size. 30 doubling times. That's a long time to get to a rather small lump. My point is early detection in many cases is too late, especially if you've already had cancer. We need to be more proactive. We know things that are toxic to cancer. We know how to make the environment of your body less hospitable. We can apply that rationally so that you don't feel like you've got to navigate the internet and listen to 10 different opinions and go on 82 different supplements. That's where we're trying to focus a laser beam down to a sustainable approach to life. This is called secondary prevention. We believe we're going to have the benefits of improving quality and diminishing probability of relapse. We got a break again. I'm having so much fun though, Nick. Can we just keep going?
I wish we could, Doctor.
All right, folks. Well, listen, I'm Dr. Steve Federetti with Nick. This is WPRO, and I will be back with Intellectual Medicine after this break.
Folks, welcome back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti here on 630 WPRO and 99.7 FM. And we have Dr. Pederuti calling in from San Francisco. Dr. Pederuti, how are you?
Hey, Nick, I'm feeling great. You know, in San Francisco, everybody's beautiful. People look great. And, you know, in Rhode Island, I want Rhode Island to be, we're going to be the state, Nick. You know how we're rebuilding our infrastructure and we're going to revitalize the whole state.
Well, quote unquote.
That's going to happen, baby. we got to think positively, right? I am all about positive energy. Even when our opponents, give us some headwind, it's just a challenge to be overcome. So we start by believing in our own innate greatness. Rhode Island's going to be the place where people go to live 120 years. And it's already happening. We have people from all over the country coming to our humble center in Warwick, Rhode Island, Intellectual Medicine. We are a movement. We are expanding. We are going to be looking for doctors and nurse practitioners to join us throughout the country. in opening up intellectual medicine centers. And this movement is going to change lives. It already has. And when you live to be 120, you got to bring your face with you, right? Like, Nick, you're a good-looking guy. You don't want your face to get old, do you? Of course he doesn't. He's too busy working. But if he were answering now, he would affirm my fact. You look in the mirror every day. It's something we do. It's not vanity to think about how can I maintain my appearance and its youth. At Intellectual Medicine, we have facial anti-aging. Not because it's vain and shallow, folks, because it's essential to quality of life. It depresses people to watch bad things happening to their face. Now we've got natural interventions that can grow your hair. Studies have proven that the injections called PRFM, platelet-rich fibrin matrix, available at Intellectual Medicine can stimulate hair growth. Studies have proven that injections into the face and gentle, non-painful treatments. Hey, Nick. Oh, I'm coming down. That these treatments can grow new skin cells, replace fading tissue, and keep your face young. That's important, folks, and it's affordable, and we want to build this into the plan. You don't want to live to be 120 and look the part, right? Part of the game here, part of the challenge, is maintaining youthful energy and vitality. We practice it, we live it, we believe it, and we deliver it. Strong immunity, decreased cancer, strong brain, and oh, by the way, good looking. Why not? You only live once. This is the new age, and you can be a part of it. Hey, Nick, how am I doing for time so far?
Well, we're on our way out of the show here now, Doctor.
How sad. Well, listen, folks, I'll be here next week. In the meantime, enjoy the melodious voice of Tony DeJesus and the Big Blue Bug Solutions, 120 years bug-free. Dr. Pederuti at Intellectual Medicine with WPRO. Talk to you next week, folks.